more precise than just knowing or thinking that that is clean all the time.
That to me is a very highly developed degree.
So it's beginning with the knowing the moment with awareness, satipatthana, and moment without satipatthana. This is the first beginning. Thing.
Sometimes I think that gets more difficult rather than easier.
Right. The more you see how much more difficult it is, not as easy as the word is there for those who have developed already. But for those who haven't developed yet and think that it's not difficult, but it's not like that at all.
I suppose I would say that I'm less concerned about whether there is sati or not.
That is good.
Is it?
That's right attitude. Right. Otherwise the self is there very, very strongly.
Yeah. Because one understands that if one is studying the teaching,
the cause is more important.
The cause is more important than the actual manifesting
result.
There's
no need to think about it at all.
It's only thinking, if it's not awareness itself. And the self is there trying so hard,
it's all
wrongly sometimes, not right one, because it's done by the self. That's why it's difficult, it's subtle, this point, too.
Well, for me it was like, get rid of the bad feeling, not anything to do with sati. Is this it was
so
like not liking the bad feeling. So
that's clinging to self, right?
Well, it's like what Prahlada Mahārāja said, we don't like the distraction, we don't much care about what, just get rid of the bad feeling.
Right.
Okay, it's easy when there's good feeling, yes, I'm happy I can study this, but when there's bad feeling,
it's just real.
It's real, yes,
so
it's real.
Dukkha patipatta.
Yes.
With regard to talking about virya, people often mention about samvega and sense of urgency, and we know this has to be with understanding, otherwise useless. And I was reading about how it's the proximate cause for the four right efforts. And in the Dhammasangani, it just mentions it only with regard to birth, death, old age and sickness, and being the proximate cause for the four right efforts. Is there a reason it's only mentioned with regard to these four aspects?
I think that the commentaries usually take from this and or that part from Tipitaka differently. So if we read Tipitaka, we can see that anything which we consider life is so short or how long will we live, things like that, and understand the value of the understanding. So it depends on situation and individuals.
So these are just examples?
Yeah. Otherwise, is it wrong just to stick to that idea that it cannot be anything at
it
all?
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So just
follow the word,
not
understanding the whole meaning.
And also, Azita was mentioning about chetana and independent origination. When we talk about abhisankara, before we discussed how this is just the chetana concerned with kamapata that brings results, and this is the meaning of abhisankara as being the same as kamapata. But we also read in other contexts as abhisankara meaning the formation and referring to all chetana.
All chetana. I mean that not even when it is a kamapata.
Right.
Yeah. It depends on whether we talk about it widely or specifically. For example, like now, when you have this, can it bring you birth by liking this? See?
Right.
So we have to understand,
depends
even it's said
context,
like that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And when we talk about the heaping in the kanda, for example, sankara kanda, that all moments of chetana are
all javanas. Just the moment of attachment or detachment has to be carried on from moment to moment.
Right, has to be carried on, has to accumulate.
Yeah.
So it's really the meaning of heaping there, just like accumulation.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the khandhas that are not concerned with the javana process? For example, the chetana that arises with seeing or hearing.
Well, it's vipaka and kriya, which is not javana.
Right.
How can it be accumulated? Because for vipaka, it's the result of karma already.
But when it talks about the heaping of khandhas,
jhavana.
I see it's specifically referring to the jhavanas.
Because what is there is not just there, because we have to find out from others.
Is this why it's called khandhas, are we saying, or just not quite that
different subject? That aspect. Okay. And is that because those jhavanas are either gusala or akusala? Is that how
and lobhya too. Kriya for an arahata too.
But they don't accumulate.
Yes. When it's not the lokutra
right,
javana.
It's still
yeah. So at this moment, citta, at this moment, one citta, we cannot understand about the accumulations from the past. How long is there?
Yeah. But an arahat has no more gusla or akusla, but an arahat will still accumulate, say, metta.
And other things.
Other,
Arahatas chavanas are different too. Yeah. One arahata is different from other arahata.
Panya can still accumulate.
Accumulate, yes. But it's not gusala, it's kriya.
The other arahata didn't accumulate the chakku tip like Anuruddha, see?
Heavenly eye, divine eye. Well, we don't say that an arahant develops satipatthana, do we?
What is satipatthana?
Good question. Satipatthana.
Arahata do have satipatthana, but no need to develop it to eradicate defilements anymore.
Okay.
So we can talk about an arahat having satipatthana even though there are no...
Because we understand the meaning of satipatthana.
Yeah.
It's not sati at the level of dana or sila.
Right. And for the arahant, the sense doors are always guarded.
By?
By sopana, chitas and the javana
processes.
By the
nature of the sopana.
By the nature of sopana. So talking about guarding, then if we talk about how the arahat always have the doors guarded, then guarding has to refer not just to sati of satipatthana, but any sopana chitas.
Because there can be also kriya citta without panya.
Right.
As well.
But if it's sopana, it's still...
But when
still
it's satipatthana, it has panya accompanied.
Yeah. So when it's without panya, one can still refer to it as guarding?
I don't think that we can just stick to the meaning to use the term guarding or not, as long as sati arises. Is that right?
Because this came up in a sutta someone gave about guarding of the sense doors.
It's
leading
the function
to
of sati itself.
Right.
No,
sati.
It's not anyone.
Right.
So whenever sati is there, it guards.
Right.
Yeah.
I said that guarding is a function of satipatthana. When there's satipatthana, the doors are guarded anyway. And this sutta was talking about the guarding leading to satipatthana. So it's any guarding with sati which leads to satipatthana.
Different
degrees.
It's like a
grain of
salt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a heap of salt.
Mm.
Salt is salt anyway.
Mm. Mm.
Sorry,
so sati, no matter it's sati or satipatthana, different.
So the sati is the grain and the satipatthana is the heap. You know, with the Eightfold Path, it's right view, right intention, right speech, right action. Now, I know they are jhana seekers and they're at the moment of an Eightfold Path, at the moment of the Eightfold or Eightfold Path, they arise together. But
when Lokuttara citta arises, all eight arise together. But when it's not Lokuttara, usually five. Yeah, without
right.
the
and they all arise together.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading that Mahajattara Sutta, the great 40s. And my question was, why doesn't right effort come after right intention?
What do you mean by after?
In order, in that sutta.
Yeah.
What's the most important?
Well, right view, that came
okay.
first, and then right intention.
Yeah.
And then
right
got,
intention? No.
That's
sammasangappa,
not intention.
It's not intention.
Well,
intention.
This was Bhikkhu Bodhi's I've got right view, right intention, speech, like action, life.
Should be right thinking, I think.
Right thinking. As intention's not.
Even right thinking, I think that it can be misleading.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't think any translation can...
Yeah, and I guess it's not such an important thing to know because, as you say, they all arise together.
If it's not important, so the series not important.
No, put where they fit in.
Because it refers to samadhi and samasankappa are the understanding aspect of the Eightfold Path, and then the next three are the sila aspect. So this is
so why would effort
together.
Not come
effort.
In there? Wouldn't you have to have effort to have sila?
Does it help sati to arise?
No, I guess not.
Talking about samasankappa, which is vitaka,
chitta-sika,
in the suttas it always talks about under right thinking, it always gives the examples of nekama, renunciation, avyapada, non-violence, and abhimsa, non-harming, and always gives examples about these. Now, we know that vitaka arises with every citta and that there's right vitaka with each sobhana citta. Why do they just give these particular examples? Nekama, obviously, it can refer to any kusala.
It's daily life. If we can understand daily life, then we know what's what.
But for example, when it talks about avyapada, non-violence or whatever, it seems that the meaning of vitaka is much more specific, the touching that arises even with vipaka cittas or at each moment.
People understand if we use the term touching.
Yeah. They lose it too. Yeah.
So we have to study and develop the understanding stage by stage.
So these three examples they give, which as you say are daily life examples, are they meant to cover the vitaka which arises with all sobhana cittas between them?
We understand the characteristic of vitaka even by learning or thinking about it, and we can understand the function, like only the Thvi Panchavinyana do not have vitaka cetasika with them. But after that, even Sampatichana Citta, which follows, has vitaka. So we know that it's not thinking in word, so it has a function of touching. Yeah. That's all. When it touches and it carries on to concept, then we think that we do understand. But actually, its function is to touch.
So, for example, I'm talking about these Nekama Abhyapada Abhimsa. Between them, they're referring to the touching aspect of vitaka because that's all there is at every moment in the sobhana jhavana cittas.
Sampatichana santirana votapana.
But then they're referring to the wholesome or the opposites, the unwholesome. Then it wouldn't be referring
jhavana,
to sampatichana, it would only be the jhavanas,
right? By understanding this, one knows the difference between moments of vitaka,
right.
When it accompanies the citta which can perform the function of jhavana, is different from when it accompanies.
Yes,
and
in these examples in the suttas, it's referring to the vitaka, but by implication, also vichara must be included too. So it's just understood that it's referring to vitaka and vichara.
Right.
For me, it's difficult to see why vitaka is singled out for mention among the path factors, because there are lots of other jhana seekers arising also. I can see why samasati and some of the others, but the aspect of touching, you know, if we didn't understand that, if there
it supports panya to see or to understand the object clearer.
Panya needs that support.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were told that vichara is also one of the path factors, it wouldn't feel inconsistent, right?
Well, can one say that when vitaka is a path factor, but vichara is also implied?
They go together.
They go together. So by implication, vichara is...
If there is no vitaka, if we talk in general about vitaka and vichara, not talking about jhana, the first and the second one, Whenever there is vitaka, vichara has the same object.
Yeah. They're different jhana seekers.
Mm-hmm. My question is that saying that vitaka is one of the path factors and giving this much, whatever the explanation we are given, we are happy to accept it. And were we told that vichara is also a path factor, be given the similar kind of explanation and accept it.
There is not only eight factors, there is also other jetasikas as well. And what follows what? Vitaka follow vichara or vichara follow vitaka. If we talk about the function, even they arise together at the same time.
Follows vitaka.
Mm-hmm. So one can say they condition each other, but vichara is more conditioned by vitaka.
Without vitaka, vichara can arise only when it's the second jhana.
And you say, okay, well, there are more factors than eight, but there's a reason why we have eight
chetasikas.
More chetasikas, but not only eight path factors.
Otherwise, I might think that there are only eight chetasikas. Right.
But presumably, these aspects will be further understood as understanding is developed.
To know that they are beyond our understanding
at this stage.
And what we learn is to have the understanding of Dhamma as anatta. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Right.
Because everything will be gone when we was born in other world. But the development of understanding Dhamma, the reality of Dhamma, can condition understanding of reality when one hears about realities.
Just one question going back to sannya. Sometimes sannya in the text denotes insight. It has a different meaning. For example, in the sutta about the 10 kinds of sannya, which are of great fruit, leading to nibbana and sannya of impermanence, of dukkha, all of these. When it seems to have the meaning of insight, is there any connection with the usual meaning of sannya as marking?
Sannya remembers too. And if panya hasn't attained that level which can directly experience the true nature of a reality, can that sannya arise by itself?
No.
Mm-hmm. So all these sannya must be the sannya with panya.
So they are referring to the usual sannya of remembering but with panya,
but
still the sannya is not referring to panya, it's referring to sannya, but by implication panya is there. Okay.
But what about the analogy of the money changer? Comparing panya, sannya and
consciousness,
chitta and sannya and panya or satita. But there's an aspect of perception that is not just remembering, isn't it?
Do you remember this? Do you know this?
Do I know it? Yeah.
That is sannya, that's all.
Right, okay.
If one knows that sannya marks and sannya remembers, that's enough. Because now, whenever one knows what is there, that is sannya which knows.
Well, I suppose why I ask is because in the Visuddhimagga, when it gives the function characteristics, it doesn't actually say a lot about remembering. It seems to mention more about this perception side of things.
Mind, as long as now, what knows that? It's sannya which knows.
Right, okay.
When it says in the Visuddhimagga about the wise man invents things for people's comfort, for example, dwellings, tools, science, seems to be talking about wisdom for worldly matters. What does it mean?
Comparison? Simile? Comparison?
Not a comparison.
Why not?
I see.
Why not? When it's such a story like this.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, if it is a comparison, then because we know that panya has nothing.
For those who'd like to think about it,
right.
That's all.
But, for example, we know that panya has nothing to do with whether one knows anything or doesn't know anything about science or inventing tools or being able to build houses. So, in what sense is it
just like? But it's not that exactly.
oh, as an example, like a metaphor, like just as Panya can dispel the darkness, so the wise person can build tools. All right, okay. Mm-hmm.